unfiltered, uncensored. Ready to take on the issues the mainstream media is afraid to engage in. Bringing you the hard-hitting truth. This is the Mass Resistance Radio Program. On Boston's 1330 WRCA. Now, your host and voice of the Mass Resistance Movement, Brian Kamiker.
Hello, everyone. This is Brian Kamiker, and you are listening to Mass Resistance Radio, Radio Free Massachusetts, here on WRCA Radio 1330 on your dial. We are heard every Saturday on the radio from 11 a.m. until noon, and sometimes Saturday evening it is posted on massresistance.org website, where you can hear this and all of our other shows at any time. Also go to our hard-hitting blog, massresistance.net. I am here with Amy, Ms. Mass Resistance.
This is Amy.
And we've got a lot on the show. This is going to be good. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff that's happened this week. We're going to talk about the forum banquet. We're going to talk to Pete LaBarbera about something that is so gross and disgusting that, oh man, it's going to eventually happen here. Stephen Bennett, congressional candidate Kevin Thompson. Where do we start?
Well, we can start with the forum that was held at the Acton-Boxborough Regional High School. And yes, I do live in Acton. I will not say I'm a proud resident of that town. I can't believe that the school officials are letting this production of the Laramie Project go forward. I do have a child in the school. There are a lot of other parents in the Acton-Boxborough Regional District that are very, very upset about this. Couple of the churches and their congregations are very upset about this. What we found was most interesting.
Let me just back up a second.
Okay.
The Acton-Boxborough High School is putting on the Laramie Project as a play for the school, which is a really gross, pro-homosexual, extremely violent, very, very anti-Christian play that isn't really a good play. It's mostly propaganda.
It dishonestly uses the horrible murder of a young man named Matthew Shepard out in Laramie, Wyoming, back, I think it was 98, uses his murder for a political end.
Right.
They twist the circumstances. They
oh, yeah.
put their own emphasis on it, try to make it into a homosexual bashing incident, which, you know, is dishonest.
Basically, yeah, as you were saying, what they do is they take the emotional incident of a violent murder and make it as emotionally gross and as disgusting and repulsive as possible in the play, in the minds of the people watching the play, and tie that psychologically to Christian belief on homosexuality. And basically tell the audience that the reason that this guy was killed was because of this widespread bigotry, which they label any criticism of the homosexual movement or of homosexual behavior, and that Christians are very likely, the message is, to go out and murder anyone in your town this way. That is the psychological message of this play.
They're saying there's underlying hate in every community, and that this sort of crime could happen anywhere. And the people who are putting on the play, who are behind it in Acton and Boxborough, have said that in the newspaper articles and in emails to parents, that there are seeds of hate in this community. And could a murder like this happen here in Acton, Boxborough? Yes, it could. So this is extremely disturbing to many, many parents in the community. And what's interesting is, because of the intimidation and nastiness of the homosexual movement, many of these parents were essentially afraid to come forward publicly. There was one father who wasn't afraid, and, you know, it's great. That's the way we have to address this sort of situation. And he introduced the forum. We had Dr. John Diggs.
Well, let me just back up a little bit here. What happened was, he and other parents were concerned about this. They approached the school committee and said, we want to have a forum at the school to tell the other side to the community.
Yes, that was after the principal refused to stop the production and the school committee refused to step in when parents went to them.
And the forum took place this past Wednesday night, and take it from there.
Well, I just want to be sure everybody goes to our website, massresistance.org, and there you will find documented beyond dispute, using the contents of the play, quotations from the play, and quotations from the handouts that were given to students, will prove beyond a doubt that the aim of this play, and this is, I don't have my actual quote with me, but it says something, the teacher's guide, this will make students doubt the values that they grew up with, values that have been held by their families for generations, will be seen in a new light.
Right.
That's the aim.
It's strictly propaganda.
And, they also, some of the materials bash groups such as Focus on the Family. Some of the playwrights went out and visited Focus on the Family in Colorado on their way to Laramie and talked about how frightening those people were. This is James Dobson's pro-family organization. You know, about as milquetoast as you can get on these issues. Frightening people, according to the information given to these children. They were also given a lavender wristband that says, erase hate. And then it refers the kids to
These were given by the people putting on the play, two members of the cast.
The adults in charge, the school faculty. Given to the students, erase hate on one side of the wristband. The other side, it says MatthewShepherd.org. Now, if you go to MatthewShepherd.org, it leads the kids directly to GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, very dangerous organization that's behind the Day of Silence, handed out the little black book, was responsible for the Fiskate incident in 2000. MatthewShepherd.org also leads kids to PFLAG. We've talked about PFLAG on this program a lot. I've got a lot of documentation on where that takes kids. It leads them to the Human Rights Campaign in Washington and directly to their coming out page.
Right.
So there's no doubt what the purpose of this play is, and why they're producing it at the school. And very interesting, at the forum, who came besides concerned community members?
This was interesting. The forum included some really interesting people. Dr. John Diggs, who talked about the medical dangers of homosexuality. Stephen Bennett was an invited guest, ex-homosexual, and he had a very strange thing happen to him that kept him from coming on the way, which we're going to talk about later in the show. Jim Lafferty, who was at the trial, talked about that. Really interesting. John Russo, a former school committee member.
In Reading, not in Acton.
In Reading.
But he has...
And we're going to have a DVD of this coming out. So this was really a pretty top-notch bunch of people that came. The people that... I don't think enough school committee people or faculty bothered to show up. But as you were saying, the people who showed a huge interest in what's going on in the school are homosexual activists from out of town. Bay Windows, this really gross and disgusting homosexual newspaper that's done, very graphic sexuality, anti-Catholic. When the Pope passed away, they did something called Requiem to the Pope's Penis on the front page. A really gross, disgusting newspaper has shown an inordinate amount of interest in what kids are being taught in that school. They were there in full force. Know Thy Neighbor, the adult homosexual activist from, I guess it's Gloucester, who came there and actually were there to intimidate people. Queer Today people were there.
Know Thy Neighbor is the group that posted all the signers of the marriage amendment.
Correct. The Queer Today that has terrorized people. So all of these out-of-town homosexual groups have shown an obsession anyway in what kids are being taught in the schools, and they showed up largely to intimidate people.
But this also serves as proof that, this play and its production are so important to these groups. I mean, that's absolute proof right there that this is a propaganda piece that they're very invested in. Why else would they be so interested in it?
Right.
It's just bizarre. The other thing I wanted to say about this is that the drama department adults in charge told the children involved in the production, just ignore those people. And they're giving the message out to the Acton community, just ignore those people.
What kind of a message is that? Don't hear the other side of the story.
Well, the play tells the kids, ignore your parents and ignore these people too.
Right. And as you were saying, what it does do, though, is it puts these kids in touch with some of the most radical groups in the country and some of the most radical groups in Massachusetts.
One of the very shocking things that we came across, there's a hate blog that's directed against our group, and specifically you and me, Brian, and a few other people.
It is so sick.
And that blog was contacted by students. Right. At Acton Boxborough
High
School.
And they apparently were going back and forth
and,
with kids.
And this blog had posted a story about Oscar Wilde. I forget the context. But Oscar Wilde, this turn-of-the-century homosexual playwright and author, who's been glamorized to the kids, by the way, in some of the handouts. Very famous trial for sodomy and pederasty back at turn-of-the-century. 100 years ago in England. So the kids are directed to read the works of Oscar Wilde by the material related to the Laramie Project play. So anyhow, somehow these kids came across this hate blog directed against us, and they contacted the blog. But they posted a comment in relation to this Oscar Wilde posting, and the kids say, "You make us laugh. Thanks. Please come to our play," and gave the details of the play. Now, do they know who they're inviting to the play?
Some of these are basically young and middle-aged men who are
very
emotionally disturbed people, very hateful. They get involved with very sick stuff.
Prior to the blog directed against us becoming an online thing, the person behind it was sending personally harassing emails to me.
Oh, yeah, to our office.
To our office. You know, we had to go to the Attorney General to put a stop to that.
Yeah,
threats, comments on my children, my family, personal comments. The guy was obviously an online stalker of my family, and these people still are doing that.
Yeah, this is where your schools are sending your kids. And the basically the administrators of the school didn't even seem to bother to want to come to the forum. When I did a forum in Newton some years ago, at least the school committee came. They came. The superintendent came. They had at least the interest and the decency to do that.
Now let me tell another little anecdote. The drama group at the school, the adults in charge, sent out an email to all parents with students involved, and they sent it out to the students. Without those particulars being kept confidential, but they also, they said to the parents, if you want to bring food and donate food to the production rehearsal times, you have to have a CORE check. That's a criminal record check, has to be done on any parent, even if you want to drop off brownies and potato chips.
Correct.
So they're pretending to be extremely careful protecting the kids in the school, and yet they're putting them in touch with these dangerous homosexual, transsexual radicals. Now, have we done CORE checks on all the people that lead up these groups? Have we done CORE checks on the people who came to the forum and are mingling with some of the students who were there? I don't think so. I have to have a CORE check in order to drop off a bag of potato chips.
There's something really sick
going on.
Something
very wrong.
Okay, so there's going to be a DVD of the forum. It was excellent. And the people who came and took it in really said that they got a lot out of it. Even the people who were predestined toward the other side, many of them came to us and said, I'd heard something that I'd never heard before, and it was really good. So that's the let's see.
Just be sure to look at the stuff that we've posted on this so you can get details about what's actually in the play and what's actually in the handouts that were given to all the students.
MassResistance.org, and there's a thing on the Laramie Project. So the following night, Thursday, was our annual banquet. It was great. Scott Lively was there, author of The Pink Swastika, talked about homofascism. I think we're going to be having a DVD of that. He gave a a speech that really struck people. I mean, he talked about what they did to him out in Oregon, and it is gruesome. When they were trying to do a ballot initiative, you go across the country and see some of the stuff that homosexual activists will do to people. It's coming here. We still think some of the stuff they do here was bad. The constant death threats, the constant, vandalism, the constant harassment.
Constant lies and lies. The collusion of the media right. with the homosexual cause, not yeah. reporting some of these horrible things that were going on.
The lies. These people have nothing, no connection at all to normal morality or decency. And that's what happened. Part of it is they're driven by whatever emotional and mental issues this behavior brings on. So that was very interesting. David Parker talked. He's actually out of town, or we'd have him on today. But it turns out that some of these radical groups are starting to put briefs in his lawsuit appeal, the latest being the Anti-Defamation League, which we talked about, I guess it was last week.
No place for hate.
No place for hate.
Can't have any hate in Lexington.
Yeah, so they're accusing David Parker of hate. The ADL, as we talked about, really needs, they need to be just slapped into shape. I mean, they have no business doing this. As we've said over and over, they were originally created to fight anti-Semitism, not to push the homosexual agenda. And, something needs to be done here. We're going to be talking, hopefully, with David Parker next time. And reading these briefs, which we're going to be posting on massresistance.org, you can see where they're going with this. They believe that infiltrating your kids' minds, that taking the kids from the parents and pushing their twisted view of morality is not only their right, but their duty.
Well, that's even the case in Acton with the play. The director says it's my duty to teach your kids this stuff.
Right. And so this is where this is going. Let's see, what else is going on?
Well, we read an interesting story about what's happening in Maine. This is connected to our expose of the transgender rights and hate crimes bill that's been filed here in Massachusetts. That's H-1722. We'll get back to that maybe next week. And what happened in Maine back in 2005, they actually passed a law that protected gender identity and expression. Cannot discriminate against gender identity and expression.
What we have here, yeah.
So sure enough, guess what? It takes a little time for this to percolate. Our friends at the Christian Civic League in Maine have published the story. 12-year-old boy now using girls' bathroom in an Orono public school. A confused 12-year-old boy is now using the girls' bathroom at a middle school in Orono. The school administration is protecting and supporting the boy's use of the girls' bathroom. And there's a grandfather in the community who's very upset by this, so he told his grandson, "Why don't you go try to use the girls' bathroom?" So, when that happens, of course, his grandson gets in trouble. After his grandson entered the girls' bathroom, the grandfather was called into the school office and told that his grandson risked expulsion if he continued using the girls' bathroom. The school administration insists that the transgendering 12-year-old boy is a special needs child. The grandfather told them they were discriminating against his grandson, and the grandfather's refusing to back down. He was told to go see the superintendent by the principal, and now this man, the grandfather, is waiting to hear from the
lunacy.
Superintendent.
This is sick.
This is the 2005 Maine law protecting transgenderism. So, this is what's going to happen in schools everywhere in Massachusetts, elementary level, middle school, high school, whatever. And, in the junior high and high school levels, of course, we're going to not only have the boy wanting to use the girls' restroom, but how about the girl who wants to go to the boys' restroom.
And then they'll have the showers.
And then, yes. The showers.
This stuff is so weird.
Athletic teams.
And this is where the homosexual movement is moving.
And schools are included in the Massachusetts bill.
It is so sick. Nobody would have believed it even a couple of years ago. That's how fast this is moving. And people need to do something. Ladies and gentlemen, this is happening, and you can't just keep sitting there. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk a little bit about something that's happening on the other side of the country in San Francisco that this is what's going to happen here. So we're going to take a break. Brian Kammacher, Mass Resistance Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back. Brian Kammacher, Mass Resistance Radio, here on Radio Free Massachusetts. Okay, how long ago was it?
Last weekend.
The Folsom Street Fair is a disgusting, I don't know if we can come up with a better word, sadomasochistic event in San Francisco. This first sort of came to the surface about a week ago, where a poster of the Last Supper, except that it, instead of Jesus and his disciples, there was, an unbelievably gross group of men and maybe a few women in with sex toys and other things.
It's a satanic image, is what it is.
That was advertising this thing about to happen in San Francisco and was sponsored by, among other people, Miller Beer. Got the attention of the Catholic League. They were on Boston, some Boston radio stations. There was a big, huge thing about that. Now, the fair itself that took place that weekend in San Francisco apparently was much, much worse than the poster. And I'm here. We have on the line Peter LaBarbera of Americans for Truth, who was actually there. Pete, thanks for coming on the show. I understand your banquet is tonight, was Friday night, so thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, thanks, Brian. Yeah, it was an incredibly deviant event. It's almost indescribable how evil it was.
Now, what this was, let's see if we understand, is it was like a gay pride event in San Francisco, downtown what exactly was going on?
Set the stage, Brian. You have to understand San Francisco to understand the Folsom Street Fair. This has been going on for 25 years. They block off several city blocks. Actually, there's like a 10-block area, and the people who greet the people attendees are the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which is a group that mocks the Catholic Church with these ridiculous, mock nuns. They have names like Sister Porn Again instead of Born Again, which is a sacred notion for Christians.
These are men dressed as nuns.
Yes, dressed as nuns. And believe it or not, in San Francisco, rather than a wacky fringe group, they're seen as a mainstream charity that gives money to AIDS groups. Anyways, these guys would greet the people coming in, and you walk in, and the first thing I saw was a man totally nude except for his socks and sneakers. And he was, and pretty soon he was masturbating another man who was also totally nude. This is the kind of thing that happened on the streets of San Francisco as the police did absolutely nothing.
So the police were there, and you watched them just stand and watch.
Yeah, we not only watched them, we talked to them. They basically said, look, this is the politician's decision. They let this happen every year. Nothing. People expect there's nudity, even public sex. Sexual orgies were going on in the street. I witnessed one. I witnessed more than one, incredibly. And the police do nothing. And this is where liberal tolerance takes us in a place like San Francisco.
Well, Pete, maybe it's a good thing that the police had a hands-off policy.
Well, you know, absolutely. I think, we laugh, but it puts the police in a terrible position. There was only about 30 cops there. I think they probably are happy they don't have to deal with this. But unfortunately, the rule of law is completely undermined. It was just sexual anarchy there out on the streets.
I guess my joke failed. What I meant was...
No, it was funny.
I was wondering if there's a gay officers action league out in San Francisco, as there is here in Boston,
well,
Massachusetts.
Well, is the Pope German, Amy? Yeah. Of course there is. And that's in every town now. Of course, there's also the homosexual police network, and that's also another factor in sort of the compromising of the rule of law that's going on thanks to the gay agenda.
Now, there are some pictures on your website, americansfortruth.org or .com, that are pretty pretty gross and disgusting. There have been a few other pictures on michaelsavage.com. You're looking at this stuff from your website, Pete, and it's guys being whipped, naked men, touching each other, as you said, and masturbating each other. Men in women without clothes on, men with bizarre sadomasic, leather things around them around their mouth and around their genitals. And
well, as Pete described this one photograph here, it's a master slave couple. The one guy's got a chain leading to the woman. And there's a dog collar.
Yeah, leave it to the sexual deviant to bring back slavery in America, huh?
Right.
Dog collar around her neck attached by a chain.
I mean, one of the things that I mentioned on, another radio program in Boston is that these people really are sick.
Absolutely,
and,
Brian.
And this is something that, a lot of people don't want to go there in this day. I mean, there's something really sick about wanting to take off your clothes and do these things in public. And there's something a little wrong with politicians that condone it. I understand that even the Speaker of the House, the U.S. House, Nancy Pelosi, who is the congresswoman from San Francisco, saw nothing wrong with this.
Well, she was asked about the very anti-Christian, sacrilegious promotional artwork that made fun of Da Vinci's Last Supper. And she says she thinks this will not harm Christianity. Now, that comment fascinated me, you guys, because it showed that even for sadomasochists, these politicians, and this event occurred in Nancy Pelosi's district, she covers most of San Francisco, the politicians are more concerned about offending the deviants, the most deviant people you can imagine in society, than they are about Christians. And she calls herself a Catholic. It's just astonishing.
Wow. Man, I understand you took something like 400 pictures.
Yeah, we had a lot of pictures. We got more to load, and it got to the point where it was just almost banal. People were walking by. In fact, I was struck. There was this orgy going on right on the streets in front of a place called Weiss Welding on Folsom Street. The poor businesses, they just take off, and this thing goes on. But, people are just walking by. Imagine walking by an orgy on the street and just, moving on. And you saw so much nudity, you almost became inured to it.
Wow.
And you also show in the photographs little tiny children and baby strollers going right by this stuff and younger kids watching
it. Yes, the organizers said the event wasn't for children, and yet they allowed parents to bring their children to the event. We have a photograph of a few of them. And, it's just, to me, this whole thing says, what is the lesson on tolerance? One guy told me, I just decided to test a citizen of San Francisco, and I complained. I said, your town is wacky, You've got guys walking around nude and having sex in the streets two blocks away. And you know what he said, Amy? He said, to each his own. And I think this is the corruption of America, this idea that you just tolerate everything. Of course, except those religious right fanatics. You don't really tolerate them. You try to censor them. The same town that welcomed this deviant fair every year, the politicians welcome them every year. The same city council in San Francisco gave a really hard time to this Christian group called Teen Mania, which was trying to reach out a Christian evangelistic mission to teenagers in San Francisco to help these teenagers live godly lives. The city council gives them hell while they welcome in the sexual deviants.
Wow. This stuff is so unbelievable. And it's going to happen here in Boston. It's going to come to other cities. The homosexual movement here is just on the cusp of doing these things.
Right. I mean, they do have a lot of exposed areas of the body, not quite this far as we've seen in the photographs that people have taken on the street. But what always bothers me, Peter, when I think about this, and we keep looking at these pictures, is the fact that on the books already we have no discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, which is undefined.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we've got coming up soon with all these supposed hate crimes bills, gender identity or expression, that phrase, which is also undefined. So we know that those phrases, some already in the law, will be used to protect this behavior at some point.
And I think it's interesting, you guys. You know, San Francisco is the gay mecca, let's face it. This is the place where men would go, and Randy Schilt's book and the band played on, young men from Kansas would flock out to San Francisco to find their true selves, allegedly. And here, this is the gay mecca. Let's look at it. Let's examine it. I don't understand this attitude that we just leave them alone and that's what they're going to do and we know that and it doesn't really matter to us. No, evil grows to fill the void. And look where it's grown in San Francisco. I mean, there were 200,000 people probably at this event, and getting paying $5 a head, being welcomed in by the blasphemous Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. I mean, this is the heart of San Francisco.
I mean, I'm looking at this, and as you said, Amy, this whole concept of sexual orientation. Here's a guy whose sexual orientation is having some leather thing over his mouth, a leather tail.
It's like a dog muzzle.
A dog muzzle.
He's a pony, actually, you guys.
Oh, see, I'm sorry. Pony. We don't know
he's
about this stuff, Peter.
Yeah, naked.
Oh, and he's got a tail. That's right.
And being led on a chain. That's his sexual orientation. Yeah. Another sexual orientation from one of these pictures is a man with a tail being whipped with, I don't know what it is he's being whipped with.
He's being flogged, actually, as everybody watches and takes pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
So that's sexual orientation. It looks like some other sexual orientations are this idea of basically running around naked.
And I notice in your write-up here, Peter, it says, Mayor Gavin Newsom, that's the same guy that had those illegal supposed marriages happening, Gavin Newsom greeted Folsom Street attendees in a letter published in the Ferris program, warmly telling them to have a great day. This is a quote. Have a great day and enjoy this wonderful and exciting event.
This wonderful event.
Yeah, wonderful event. So
I think the politicians bank on that most people don't know what goes on. You know, they're pandering to the homosexual activists. And what we have to do is tell people what it's all about.
So are there...
This is not reaching out to any other minority group. This is reaching out to some of the most deviant behavior known to mankind.
So aren't there laws on the books against public nudity, lewdness, et cetera,
Believe there are in California, and, you know, we're looking at the options here. It's there could be civil action or some sort of lawsuit here. This is against the law. And unless San Francisco has an ongoing exemption to the rest of the countries and states' laws, something ought to be done.
One of the things that often happens, you know, when homosexual activists start to take power is a move to do away with the public nudity laws, to do away with the age of consent laws and all of that. I've seen that in places in Maine, like Ogunquit, where there was a huge fight over public nudity laws. I believe that's also happening in Provincetown here.
Yeah, in fact, one of our newer representatives in the Massachusetts State House led an attempt within the city council to allow public nudity on the streets of Provincetown.
Right.
I guess it was defeated.
Yet at the same time, they tell us their movement's not about sex.
Right. This stuff is so depraved to look at. And this is where this movement is going and beyond.
Now, we haven't seen all of your photos, but I'm sure you have something like I saw on the Michael Savage website that was, I've never, ever seen anything like it. And it's so disturbing. I don't know if we should describe it on the radio, but people do need to know this is happening on the streets. There was this one guy that had these like meat hooks through his flesh on his chest, and he was being pulled by chains that were attached to those meat hooks by another guy.
Yeah, thank God I missed that one, Amy.
Oh, man,
I
don't
know. We had to take normalcy breaks. We would go off and take a normalcy break for a half hour. It was so disturbing, and then we'd come back. So we didn't catch it all. There was also some woman was hoisted up in a cage in front of a church, and that was in the San Francisco Chronicle. By the way, the Chronicle did not really report. They covered it all up, of course. They didn't report on the rampant nudity, hundreds of men going nude in the streets.
So you're going to put up more pictures?
Yeah, we're going to put up more, and you know, we're also going to educate, put up the whole flyer. You know, we've got Gavin Newsom, you've got Miller Brewing Company. They were also saying how proud they were to sponsor Folsom. Now the Catholic League has launched this protest, and now Miller's backtracking, but it's only because they got caught. And what we want to do is alert the Miller Beer Company workers. Look, this is what your company is doing with its corporate dollars. funding and financing this deviance.
Yeah, I have. There's a picture on your website, a big Miller Draft banner.
Well, everybody's in on the game, and the thing is, the media sort of winks. The media knows about the depravity, I believe, but they, you know, it's sort of like this liberal pseudo-sophistication where, you know, the people with the real problem are the Christians and the religious people who are judging it. They're the ones with the real problem, not the deviants in the streets.
Right. Well, Pete, I know you got to run. I want to thank you for, coming on. Is there anything else you think people ought to know?
Oh, no. Could I plug the website, Brian?
Oh, please do.
Yeah, check us out, AmericansForTruth.org, and we're just going to keep going. The homosexual activists, of course, are making fun of us for this. They made a big mock-up of me as a leather man, which I only wish I had the biceps of this guy, you guys. I'm just an overweight family guy.
Well, Pete, this is what, you know, they do. They will attack anybody who speaks out. And, you know, God bless you for doing it, but that's the depraved way that these people work. You're not going to find any of them saying, maybe some of the stuff that we're doing is a little deviant.
Actually, Frank Kameny, who is a leading icon in the homosexual movement, they see him as a, quote, civil rights hero. Frank Kameny wrote me and said, you know, you got to lighten up. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, that's a funny group. They're just, it's a lot of levity, you know. Well, look, we don't find anti-Christian blasphemy funny. You know, we don't find it funny when you take a nun and you make his name Sister Ra's Erection, making fun of Christ's resurrection. That's not funny to the average person. Why is it funny to these homosexuals? Well, maybe it's because, like you said, Brian, they have a problem, a serious, serious spiritual and mental problem.
Unless people have seen your pictures, they also probably don't know that it's not just men dressed up as nuns. These are men dressed up as freak exaggerations of,
yes.
You know, I mean, with some slight reference to nuns. They're not, they don't look like nuns at all. They're just these freaks that are
yes.
Really shocking to look at.
It's a big mockery of Christianity, Catholicism, just it's that old anti-religious bigotry coming forward.
And more than that, it is unbelievable sickness. Normal people would not do any of this. It is really, really, really sick. And it's how, you know, this behavior builds on itself and builds on itself and builds on its own depravity until you get this kind of thing. People need to really see it up close, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, we're,
and they need to see where tolerance takes a society,
mm-hmm,
you guys,
right.
Definitely.
And I know
too much tolerance kills a culture.
What they really hate that we've done here in Massachusetts is exactly what you've done here, and that is to take the pictures that show what's really happening, because it's like they've gotten away with it for so long because the media isn't covering it.
Right.
Yes.
So when we do, they can never say, oh, no, that didn't happen, because we show the pictures.
Right. All right, Pete.
God bless you guys.
All right. Good luck with everything, and
right,
keep up
so
the
much.
Fight. All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Brian Kamiker with AMI, Mass Resistance Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back. Brian Kamiker, Mass Resistance Radio, here on WRCA Radio, Cambridge, Massachusetts. This past week, as we talked about a little earlier in the program, we had our forum at Acton-Boxborough Regional High School on the Laramie Project. And as we said, it was an incredible event, but one of our main speakers wasn't there. Stephen Bennett, who many of you know, has been on the show before and has been at many of our events, ex-homosexual, a pastor now, was on his way to the event, and a very mysterious thing happened. Steve, we've got you on the show. People have been asking you about this. It's been all over the internet. You weren't able to come. You got injured. Thanks for coming on the show. I hope you're feeling okay.
I am, and I appreciate, Brian, you having me on there. I'm sorry I missed your event. I heard it turned out to be a wonderful event, and I really wished I was a part of that. But it was very odd. Coming there, I was going through the toll lanes in I-290 and pulled in to get into the cash lane, and a truck came up from behind me. Green truck started rearing his horn, revving the engines, then pulled up on the side of my brand new vehicle. Afraid the guy was going to scratch it. It was obviously something was wrong with this nut. And then I stopped the vehicle and tried to turn because he was trying to, it looked like, to ram into my front. I stopped and he pulled ahead of me, and then he looked behind him and he made sure that he whacked the front of my vehicle before he got in line. And I was just obviously shaken up. I couldn't believe what happened, why this happened. Called OnStar immediately, the police. They got the police online. And it just took off from there, a life of its own. I was, unfortunately, my back, I've got back problems, and my back went out from this event. I pulled off to the side of the road, and two state troopers came by. And
So the guy hit you with such force that it damaged your bumper, and he took off.
It took off. It was a consider a hit and run.
Well, I mean, it would appear to be a hit and run.
Absolutely.
The guy hit you, caused you personal injury, caused your car some injury, and he ran off. And it turns out you got a picture of it.
Absolutely, I had my camera phone, got a picture of it. We got the license plate, all the information. And, thank God they were able to find out who the guy was. The police actually...
So the police stopped, and something very strange happened, didn't it?
Well, the police, they stopped. They took my side of the story. I gave them all the license, the license plate, the information of the other driver. And one of the officers who was waiting outside of the cruiser was talking to me, telling me standard procedure. Now what's going to happen? You know, I'm going to get a police report. I'm going to, they'll find out who the driver is, et cetera. And then the other officer comes out of the cruiser and tells me that because there was under $1,000 worth of damage done, which I've never heard in my life that police officers are licensed insurance adjusters. I understand they have to do some kind of estimation, which the insurance, by the way, the damage is over $1,000 to the vehicle. Mm-hmm. They said because it was under $1,000 that they're not going to issue a report. They're just going to make a log entry, and my insurance company, I have the license plate information, just give that to them. They can find out who the individual was. And I was shocked.
So anyway, they said that they were going to follow this up and do a police report. They find out who you are, they find out who he is, they go in their car, they come back, and the story changes 180 degrees.
Yeah, and I have no idea why that happened. Did I misunderstand something? Did they misunderstand something? I have no idea what happened, but in my perspective, when they came back, something obviously had changed, and there was no report that was going to be issued.
And there was nothing about your injury. Now, this is very strange, because I followed up myself with the Massachusetts State Police, and I was told by someone at headquarters, police lieutenant, that in fact a hit and run is required to be a police report, no matter what the damage is.
Absolutely.
That they were required to ask you about if you were injured, which I understand you told them you were.
I told them my back went out. And they did not offer me, which legally they were supposed to ask me.
They were supposed to ask you if you had help, and they didn't do it. And
or if I needed an ambulance or anything, and that none of that was done.
And beyond that, I understand that they treated you then and afterwards, the state police treated you in a hostile manner.
Absolutely. All but one of the officers seemed for some reason to have a real attitude, almost treating me as if I were the perpetrator of the crime. And, I really got taken over the coals. I was really surprised, even talking with some of the superiors, the tone and, the belligerence that they were speaking to me, with. But in any case, I had no idea who did this, why it was done. I just thank God it was because of you. It was because of everybody else who was calling. Actually, the police called here and told me to tell my people to stop calling. I said I told no one to call, but I guess a lot of other people were calling. And thank God because that happened, an officer who was on the scene, who was the nicest gentleman out of them all, he was very cordial. He actually staked out this house, found out who the individual was, and the guy admitted guilt. It was road rage. The man said, I cut him off, which did not happen. His vehicle was parked, and he was looking to go into a different lane. And it was road rage. It was a 30-year-old kid who had road rage, and he decided to ram my new vehicle with his banged-up old one.
Wow. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I did follow up on this, as you said. I talked to the police lieutenant in charge of the barracks and also another police lieutenant downtown. And the police lieutenant in charge of the Charlton barracks was very strange. You know, I reminded him that the fact that they refused to look into this and that they suddenly treated you so badly once they found out who you were and once they seemed to find out who this guy was and they suddenly wanted to drop it, it looked very suspicious. And, you know, we all know that in the Massachusetts State Police, there's a huge homosexual contingent. They march in the gay pride parades. They have the Gay Officers Action League. They have these gay liaisons. There's a lot of huge gay influence in the state police. And I reminded this guy of that. And, you know, he, of course, accused me of, what's the term? He said that I'm a conspiracy guy. And
terrorist
I said,
or something.
Yeah, he accused me of, you know, conspiracy. And I said, well, if you guys had done your job, we're not having this conversation. You know, if you don't want conspiracy theories, do your job. And he didn't have anything to say on that, but for a long time, they refused to look into this. And I'll tell you, this really still needs to be looked into. You know, why were they so hostile? And they continued to be hostile. Why did they not want to do this? This is really very strange.
You know, it is, Brian. And, you know, all I could say is, you know, I'm, you know, without knowing much, I'm going to give everybody here the benefit of the doubt, you know, probably being a little bit too lenient, but... You know, I'm grateful for this one officer who did his job, and probably because of you and everyone else who called, this man, you know, did his job. They found out who this guy was. This guy is responsible, and now we are going to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law that we can. You know, I have a back injury from this. I've lost work. I was supposed to be down in a preaching in Florida coming up. I'm unable to make the airline trip down there and to stand for 5 or 6 hours preaching at a very large mega church. So we've got a loss of wages. We have back injury. We have damage to my vehicle. All of this, none of this, which was my fault. And again, you know, some of these officers just treated me like I was the criminal, and that is uncalled for. Even here when I contacted my local police in Connecticut, they apologized for the Massachusetts police.
We're really concerned about this, too, because you're a very well-known person. Pro-family people have had problems with the state police. When they see pro-family people doing something, I've seen it. We get treated much worse than anybody else, the homosexual activists.
There's also problems with local police departments that can treat you with this kind of hostility.
Yeah.
Unbelievable weird stuff goes on in police departments.
Right.
Well, I told you guys, Massachusetts is all on crack, so
yeah.
We're praying for you.
Well,
up there.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, and you know, we're not going to stand for it anymore. And, you know, Steve, God bless you for doing what you're doing. God bless you for at least being willing to come up here and tell your story. I can tell you, they didn't want to hear what you had to say that night, and even though they didn't hear it then, they're going to hear it again.
They will, Brian, because believe me, Massachusetts has not seen the last of me. It's only just begun.
All right. Stephen Bennett, how do people get in touch with your ministry?
Very easy. Just go to our website at sbministries.org. That's sbministries.org. If you know a family member, friend, loved one who's involved in the gay lifestyle, you need some support, maybe you're struggling yourself, feel free to go to the website. I'd be happy to speak with you, help in any way I can. sbministries.org.
All right, Stephen Bennett, God bless you, and we'll stay in touch.
Thanks, Brian. You as well.
This is Brian Kamiker, Mass Resistance Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back. Brian Kamiker, Mass Resistance Radio. Coming up later this month, I believe it's the 16th, is a congressional election in the 5th District. Marty Meehan's seat, who has, I guess, left his congressional seat finally to, I believe, be the president of UMass or something like that. It's a very big contested race, and unfortunately, the mainstream media is paying attention to two of the candidates, but none of the others. And this is really driving me crazy. They're paying attention to Nikki Tsongas, the Democrat, and Jim Ogonowski, the Republican. But there is a candidate that we like, the Constitution Party candidate, who is for real, unlike some of these phony, phony conservatives. And I mean capital P phony conservatives that sometimes run in our running. Kevin Thompson for Congress, thanks for coming on the show. I understand that you have an event coming up.
Yes, we actually have a Constitution Party Unity Rally here on October 13th. That's next Saturday, a week from today. And we're excited about it. We're going to have, we actually have two candidates here in Massachusetts on the ballot, myself running for Congress there in the 5th District, as you mentioned. And we have candidate Tom Fallon, who's running for the state Senate in the Middlesex 4th District. And we're excited.
Oh,
both are
okay.
Special elections. We're excited about that. And we also have Howard Phillips coming down and Jim Clymer, two of our national leaders in the party. Jim is our national chairman, and Howard's mm-hmm. our founder. And we're just excited as can be about that.
Yeah, I've met Howard Phillips. In fact, a couple of days ago at our banquet, Tom Fallon was there, and we recognized him. This is great. A few years back, I was on the state committee of the Constitution Party, and it that was back when we ran candidates for U.S. Senate. Whose seat is Tom Fallon running for? Oh, no, I think he told me he's running. He's running for against Cheryl Rivera for what is it for rep? Is that right?
State Senate.
Okay. Okay, well, tell us when is this event?
It's 11 o'clock on the 13th.
Okay.
We run till about 12:30, and we're right in a Chinese restaurant there in the Treble Cove. I can't think of the plaza.
Okay.
Over there in Billerica, it's right off of Route 3A. It's the name of the restaurant is Feng Cheng Buffet Restaurant.
Okay.
You can't miss it. It's a great food there as well. There's a buffet of $8.75. That's really good. But you want to be there for our meeting. You want to be there to meet fellow constitutionalists, fellow people who believe as we do.
Okay. So this is on the 13th Saturday, a few days before the Tuesday election. How's the campaign coming?
It's going well. Our message is getting out there. We're meeting more and more people who are just fed up with the way our government is going, the way our politicians have ignored our values and ignored our principles, trampled all over our Constitution. And people are seeing that, and they're responding to what we have to say. So our message is certainly getting out there.
That's great. Yeah, I'm very annoyed at so-called pro-family conservatives who would support a Republican who is very publicly pro-abortion, pro-civil unions, pro-changing the military to acknowledge homosexuality. And, if they're willing to give this stuff up, what is the message that they're telling politicians? Is that we don't, if you're not going to have our values, then that's fine. You got
to
go.
What does it mean to be pro-family?
Yeah, what does it mean? It means nothing. I mean, you have to actually walk the walk on this stuff, and you do. And so I'm telling one more time where this is. And
sure, it's at the Feng Cheng Restaurant on the Treble Cove Plaza there in Billerica, right off of Route 3A. It's 11 o'clock, October 13th. You want to be there for that. You can check out more details on the website. That's www.thompson07.com.
Okay, Kevin Thompson for Congress in the 5th District. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. This is Brian Kamenker. We'll be right back. And we're back for our final segment here on Radio Free Massachusetts, Mass Resistance Radio. Man, I don't know how much more of this we can take. Maybe we'll move
to the university
scene? The university.
What's happening in the universities where all our kids are enrolled? Well, at Suffolk University, everybody on the Suffolk University email system received the following email. Dear colleagues and students, holiday season is approaching, and we have some fabulous tips for queering up your next vacation.
Everybody got this.
Yeah, from the bars and beaches of Provincetown to the gay/tranny scene in San Francisco, our experts will be able to answer questions and guide our GLBT community on which venue will suit you best, whether you're into bears, butch, femme, ladyboys, or just mainstream. Mainstream what?
Mainstream.
Okay, continuing mainstream. To quote here. The Suffolk GLBT Alliance would be delighted to hear from you and recommend locations for the queerest vacation season of your life.
Oh.
Our advisors are veterans of gay rights causes and the establishment of gay communities throughout the U.S., and we are truly experts in this field, blah, blah, blah. Then they invite everybody to enter this contest they're having where you can get huge discounts on these queer vacations. This is an excellent and fun opportunity to broaden the horizons of your education if you are a straight questioning member of the Suffolk community. We feel that at least 1 in 3 college students who consider themselves to be straight should have a same-sex experience by the end of their college career. Please email us soon. We don't want you to miss out. And also be sure to ask for our free HIV STD safety brochure and our GLBTFQ hotel guide.
What is F now?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh,
GLB... T is trans. I don't know what F is.
We haven't made anybody sick yet.
Okay, so this was sent to everybody at Suffolk University. This is happening in universities across America. Again, they're getting the young people when the young people are in their rebellious mode, as so many people are when they're college students.
We feel that at least 1 in 3 college students who consider themselves to be straight should have a same-sex experience by the end of their college career. Yeah, right.
Okay, just remember to read your HIV STD brochure before you go on the queerest vacation you can imagine.
Right, that's what they... You know, what often bothers me about, you know, these high school kids and college kids is, at least when I was in high school, you know, back in the Vietnam War and all of that, kids then, you know, they questioned this stuff. You know, they didn't swallow every bit of complete nonsense that was fed them. And, you know, there would be spirited debate on anything. And you could debate something without having, you know, the other people threaten to kill you. But kids weren't a bunch of wimps. They weren't a bunch
of cowards. Yeah, I think you're right. Even with the Vietnam War, even though most of the college students, you know, I'm the same age you are, most of them were anti-war, blah, blah, blah. It's true. There was more open discussion. There was more real debate. The outcome of the debate was usually, you know, anti-war. But you're right. A lot more free speech, a lot more discussion.
People could talk about it. And even, you know, not on the war things. You know, I remember the professors would have a lot of this, you know, stupid left-wing nonsense, you know, greening of America, blah, blah, blah. And kids would say, you know, a lot of this is stupid. And kids today, they're brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the stuff you've heard on this show is going to happen here, if it already hasn't. And the only way that it doesn't happen and the only way that it stopped is you getting involved. And that's, believe me, that is a promise. You'd better get involved. You can get involved by going to massresistance.org, you know, contact us. And let me tell you something else. This radio show isn't free. Freedom isn't free. And the only way that this thing works is with your support. We don't get government grants. We don't get big corporate support. We don't get political support. It happens from you. You can send a check to Mass Resistance Radio, P.O. Box 1612, Waltham, Massachusetts, 02454. That's Mass Resistance Radio, P.O. Box 1612, Waltham, 02454. Or you can click on massresistance.org and say, you know, to donate. That's how it happens. Ladies and gentlemen, until next week, this is Brian Kammacher with Amy, Mass Resistance Radio. Talk to you then.